Well, thank you for coming this morning. It's a great morning. Lovely, beautiful day. I know people have come. Who's been at Summer Fire Conference this week? All the ones glowing there with the anointing and glory over their heads. And that's all them. And just want to celebrate as well that that this week, Carrigeden was kept in Christian ministry. And we just want to give God glory. A deal is being struck. And Tiglin will be buying the building, and the work of God will be continued in that building, and that's been our prayer. And so it's a marvelous turn of events, wouldn't you say? And so it's great to see everybody, especially Jean. It's great to see Jean. last week we had Brad. Those who was here, Brad Riley. Brad is over from in St. Louis, O'Fallon, a city called O'Fallon in St. Louis, Missouri. And his wife Beth was in our D3 speaking, and we had the best weekend. We had a rich weekend both in each of the locations. So last week Brad was here, and Beth was in our D3. But this week we have Beth here, and I think we got the best of the deal. Don't tell Brad I said that, but it's true. Mary, how's the finger? Mary got absolutely healed last week from something that bothered her. Another someone else, Abby, got healed with some back pain, Abraham Turner. And so let's just say, God, have your way. Just before Beth, just if you have an ailment, put up your hand and let's pray. Amen. Just hold it there. Father, we just release your healing power into these bodies in the name of Jesus, Father. We ask for healing, Lord God. We receive healing, Father. I speak to every ailment in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be gone, every symptom, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we release your power, Lord. Lord, your testimony, the testimony of Jesus, the healer, into every life, Lord. That, Lord, as Abraham said last week, the word was given. He said, my act in it was to receive it. So receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brad, it's not a bad word for that man. Brad, you heard how we built up Beth last week, so no pressure, Beth. But we're bringing coffins up from the funeral parlor. But he says this, that when we walk away from hearing Beth, we'll be educated in the things of the kingdom. And this is my first time for hearing Beth speak, so I'm really looking forward to this. Let's give her up for Beth. And Beth's lovely daughter, Emma Sophia, was here last week. Emma, give everyone a wave there. Like, can you imagine? So Brad is about the same height. Young Sophia is near enough the same height as these four people. And me and Sharon met them at the airport. It was like two leprechauns meeting. You're welcome to Ireland. You're very welcome, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, Noel and Sharon are little leprechaun friends. We love them. We love them. We've spent a week or 2 weeks now in Ireland, and we have had just a lovely time in your nation. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. We were down north first. We went to the northern tip of Ireland, and then this last week we're in the southern tip of Ireland, and we have met just some lovely people, and I'm telling you what, God is doing things in your nation. Everywhere we go, we are meeting believers. We're meeting believers, and we're just praying for revival for your nation. And I know God is faithful, and he's going to do it. He definitely is going to do it. So I just want to thank you for having us. It's an honor to be here and an honor to be a part of Liberty for a couple of weeks. We honor your pastors. We love Noel and Sharon. When they come to St. Louis, when Noel's announced, everybody stands up and applauds, and they're just so blessed by his ministry. And you guys are blessed. And sometimes it's easy to forget how blessed we are when we're spoiled, right? And you guys are absolutely spoiled to have Noel and Sharon as the leaders of all three locations. And so it's just an honor to be here. So let's just pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to continue his work today. Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, God, that we can place our hope in you. And that in times of trial and in seasons of difficulty, you are faithful. You are faithful to us and you love us with an everlasting love. We're just so honored to be in your house. We're thankful for this place that we can worship you. just be here today in ever increasing measure of your presence would just be released, that your glory would be here, Father, that even as I'm speaking, God, that you would use your word to penetrate our hearts. So soften us, Father. Soften our hearts towards you, towards your Holy Spirit. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in this time and just minister to our hearts and our soul. In Christ's name we pray. Today I'm going to talk to you about a fight that you are in. A fight that you are in. And in this fight, there's no neutral ground. You are either in or you're out. And if you're in, it takes action. It just takes action. So I'm going to talk to you about that today. I just feel compelled in prayer to tell, and it's interesting, every location the Lord's given me a different word for that location. And today the word is this: armor up, saints. Armor up. It is time for you guys to armor up and get ready to fight the battles that the enemy has placed in your life. I just want you to think about this for just a moment. Just think about the word destiny and what that means to you. What does the word destiny mean to you? Well, I want you to know today that you have a destiny, that God has created you with destiny. When he knit you together in your mother's womb, it was for a destiny. Your children have a destiny. Your grandchildren have a destiny. They have a plan. God has a plan for them. And if we look in Psalms 139, verse 16, we see that the word says this. God's word says, all the days were planned for me. They were written in your book before I was one day old. God wrote your destiny in a book before you were one day old. He had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. Destiny releases in the world the plans that God has for you and for our generation. He strategically placed you at this moment in time for destiny. What is your destiny? What is the things that he has for you? He wrote them. They're in a book in heaven. At any moment, he could call an angel to say, go get the book that I wrote over Carol's life. And pull that out and open the pages to the destiny that the Father has for Carol. Insert your name into that scenario. He has a destiny for you, and he has a plan. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Now, we've seen some masterpieces this week. We've been in castles. We've seen artwork. And God says you are his masterpiece. He created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. Long ago, that book was written, and that book needs to be drawn out, and we need to be reminded that we have a destiny. Now, when the word declares that there's a destiny over your life and there's a plan and a purpose over your life, there's going to be an enemy that attacks that plan. Can I get an amen? There's just going to be an enemy who attacks the plan. So we need to be on guard against the schemes of the enemy and use the knowledge that the word's given us in order to fight him effectively. We need to know what his scheme is, what's his plan, because he's going to attack the destiny. He's going to attack the things that were written about you long ago. And so we need to understand that. I love that God shows us throughout the word just the same situation over and over so we can get it. So if you have any doubt that Satan's attacking your destiny, any doubt at all, and if you've lived past 15, you probably don't doubt that he's attacking your destiny, right? He's always on the attack. But if you have any doubt, let me look at this verse with you. Luke 22:31 says this. Jesus speaking to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has a desire to have you that he might sift you. This is Jesus talking to Simon Peter. Satan has a desire that he might sift you. Now, if you have a destiny, did Peter have a destiny? Did Jesus warn Peter, hey, Satan's after you. He's after your destiny. He's going to sift you. Satan had an awareness of the destiny that God had planned for Peter, and his strategy was to stop him from receiving what was already his. The inheritance he was called to walk in. Satan wanted to sift him, which means an inward agitation. Inwardly, he wanted to agitate Peter to the point of overthrowing his faith. Have you ever been there? You're like, I just can't take anything else. The enemy's coming in to your destiny and into your life just to agitate you to the point where you throw up your hands and say, I can't take it anymore. I'm walking away. Have you ever heard somebody say, life seemed easier before Jesus? Have you heard that? There are times that you can see how the enemy just comes against a person once they make the declaration that they're in Christ, and he comes against them. And we have the power and the authority to stop it if we're made aware that there's a scheme against us. And so today, I really just feel like we need to be aware. It's so easy to fall asleep in our walk and not understand that there is an enemy that is pursuing us. Satan desired to overthrow Peter's faith, and he wants the same for you. But we are those that are aware of his scheme. We're aware of his scheme. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's your battle plan. In Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. So we have these precious promises. We have this truth that we're given. And as we're fighting the schemes of the enemy, we hold on to those precious truths. How does the enemy attack the good things that God has for us? He devours them. He tries to devour them. How does he do that? He steals, kills, and destroys. It's his job description. So he comes to devour the destiny that God has written about you from before the beginning of time. And he does it three ways: steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to steal the things that God has given you or destined for you. He tries to destroy them. And so we as believers have to stand our guard. We have to armor up. We have to stand our ground. How does he attack us? He attacks our minds, our will, our emotions, our soul. That's what he attacks. That's usually where he starts. Sometimes he goes right for the body. And once he gets in the body and there's sickness that's caused, it affects our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, I'm sure you guys know all about your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul, but I'm going to do just a moment of teaching here. At salvation, you become saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So there, just like there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you have a physical body. Mine's taller than Noel's. You have a physical body. You have a spirit man, which my spirit man is perfect. There are no flaws. There's no age marks. It's perfect. My spirit man is going to be up in heaven, right? At salvation, perfect. At the moment of salvation. But I also have a soul. So I have a physical body. I have a spirit, and I have a soul. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And usually what the enemy does is he comes in for the kill in our soul. The battleground for what God has destined for us usually takes place in our mind. It usually does. He attacks in our mind. And so we have to make the choice, hey, what am I thinking? Who am I agreeing with? Am I agreeing with the word of the Lord and what he says about my destiny and about who I am? Or am I agreeing with my circumstances and what the enemy is doing right now? There's a decision we have to make, an action we have to take. We have to partner with God's plan to defeat the enemy. How do we do that? 1 Peter 5:8, beautiful scripture. If you don't have it memorized, memorize it. It's amazing. Be alert and of sober mind. Are you alert? Are you of sober mind? Your enemy, the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's prowling around. He's acting like what? A lion. It says he's acting like a lion. Does the word say he is a lion? It says he acts like one. He tries to devour what's rightfully yours in Christ. You are the one that makes the decision. Not today. Not today, Satan. Not today. You're not going to devour the promises of God in my life. He tries to devour what's rightfully yours. He tries to devour your destiny. God's word goes on to say, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You have a job, ladies and gentlemen. Your job is to resist him. Not to partner with his lies, but to resist him. That's an action. Resisting something is an action. You don't resist by being passive. I've had people say, we've pastored now for 20 years, and I've had people say, well, if I just don't pray, Satan won't attack. Or if I just won't give, Satan won't. So basically, if I'm just a nominal believer and I'm not active in my walk with the Lord, if I'm not growing, Satan is going to let me be. That is a lie from Satan. He will attack. It's our job to know, have a battle plan. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. It's an action. You can't partner with his attack on your life and walk in the destiny God has for you. You have to choose to resist him and stand firm. Standing firm is also an action. You don't stand firm by lying down and taking it. Man, I've had a bad week, Beth. You don't understand how bad my week is. I understand I have bad weeks too. But if we all decide to partner with negativity instead of partner with what God has already promised us in the word that he has spoken in the Bible, then we're going to find ourselves in despair and discouragement. And that is just the enemy's playground. But if we look at our circumstances and we say, God, what does your word say about the circumstances that I'm standing in right now? Because your word is more true than what I'm standing in right now. What do you have to say about this situation? My finances are struggling. Well, God, what do you have to say about that? You say that you're my provider. So I'm standing on the promise that you are going to provide all my needs according to your riches and glory. My body is riddled in sickness. I can either partner with that or I can say, God, your word says that you're my healer. You are my healer. I'm going to stand that on this cross, the stripes that you took purchased my healing. We have a choice. We have to be in action to walk in our destiny. We have to hold on to the word of truth. Is the Bible true? Raise your hand if you think it's true. Is it true? If it's true, is part of it true or all of it true? All of it. All of the word is true. And yet, when we go through circumstances, isn't it so interesting how we can be walking in faith and then something happens and all of a sudden we forget that verse about the provision of the Lord? Or all of a sudden we forget the verse that he's our healer and we just pick and choose the verses that we want to hold on to for that moment. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't hold on to the word of truth in the middle of battle, we will find ourselves wayward. Our destiny will be stolen from us because the enemy, he knows the word. He knows the word, and he knows how to come in and to attack and to try to devour. And if we don't stand firm in our faith, he will do just that. I'm asking you today to be people of action against what the enemy is doing in your lives. What does God's word say about the situation? What does it say? Do some study. It is not Noel's job to know what's going on in your life and to come talk to you and have coffee with you or tea here. To have tea with you and to say, well, let me show you what God's word says. It's great if he could do that for 300 people, but he's only one person. Guess whose responsibility it is to be in the word? That's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. How can you resist the enemy of your soul if you're not in the word of God and you don't have your weapons sharpened and ready to fight the lies that the enemy's speaking and the things that he's doing against you? What does God's word say about your situation? Agree with that. Don't allow what you see in the natural to be the reality that you live in. Don't allow it. What you see in the natural to be the reality that you live in. Do you agree what God says about the situation? Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's our job to not conform to how the world thinks about our problem. It's our job. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you are a follower of Jesus in every situation. Instead of going to the coffee shop or the tea shop and getting the advice of your friends, go to the Word of God first. What does he say about it? What does God say about the situation? And then surround yourself with other men and women of God who understand the truth of God's word and the truth of God's word for that situation in your life. I'm telling you, if you surround yourself with people who have not been transformed by the renewing of their mind in the word of God, you are going to be led wayward in situations of strife and pain and difficulty. You need to surround yourself with other people who hold fast to the truth of God's word. And I'm just going to put a commercial in here for church. The church is a beautiful gift to the body of Christ. How connected are you? Do you come in on a Sunday morning and have a great message, hopefully, and feel energized, and then come back the next Sunday morning or skip a Sunday? And don't talk to anybody that has the same beliefs as you? Or are you plugged in? Because in seasons of trial and seasons of despair and seasons of difficulty, guess who's going to be next to your side? It's these men and women right here. These men and women are the ones that are going to hold your hands up in prayer. When you're sick in the hospital with a bad report, who do you want next to you? The people who understand who God is and understand the truth of his word. But if you have no relationship with the people you're sitting next to, they won't even know that you're there. God has given you a gift in the body of Christ. Plug in. Well, Beth, I don't know anybody. I know you don't know anybody, but go to the coffee. I think it's so cool that you're having coffee today. Go to the social. Get to know somebody. Well, I don't feel comfortable. I don't want them to know the stuff in my life. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead. They have stuff too. Say, you have stuff too. You have stuff too. All of you have stuff. All of you have a story. And sometimes our story's messy. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's ugly. The stuff that we've walked through, the stuff that God saved us from is messy. But instead of hiding it, instead of hiding your stuff, instead of hiding your story, be proud of what God has delivered you from. Get to know your brothers and sisters in the Lord. He has given them to you as a gift. Together, you're even stronger. Together, you can resist the enemy in ways that you can't when you're just by yourself. So how do we journey through seasons of hardship and attack? Well, God's given us a plan for all of us. Romans 12:12 says this, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Oh, don't you hate that word, patience? Oh, I hate it. And be persistent in prayer. We have to choose to be joyful in our hope. That's an action. We choose to be joyful. The word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our strength. Joy strengthens us, our physical man. I mean, I take the word as medicine. When I take the word, it strengthens even my physical body. And the joy strengthens us in order for us to place our hope where we're supposed to in seasons of strife. We can place our hope in Christ. and who Christ says he is. He's our redeemer. He's our deliverer. He's our healer. We can place our hope in who Christ says we are. You are a child of the King. You're a daughter or a son of God. And we can place our hope in who Christ says we are and what we have. The promises that are in God's word are for you, that they're for everybody else. Well, if you keep believing that, you're going to live that way, defeated and downhearted. But if you believe that the promises in God's word are for you, you're going to live like the overcomer that Jesus says that you are. You are an overcomer. How do I know that I don't feel that way? Because God's word says it. God's word says it, and it's true. Well, how do I know what God says about me? Once again, get in the word. I love to tell the church back home, if you don't know, Google it. Do you guys have Google here? I've used it a ton. I've used it for like, we've gone into restaurants and somebody will say something and I'm like, well, Google it. I don't know what that is. You know, or we'll be given directions to, we were given directions to a vacation house and there were words in the directions we didn't even know what they meant. And so we were Googling it. Oh, it means a big stone structure. And we're like, oh, okay, look for the stone structure next to the cow. You know, I mean, that's where we were. You have to Google it. Show some initiative. Have some action in your faith. And if all that means is to Google, hey, who am I in Christ? Hit Google, hit search, and it will come up with verses, hundreds of verses. Who am I in Christ? Print it out. You have printers here, don't you? Print it out. Put those verses in your Bible every day. Every day, read them. Beth, I don't feel like an overcomer. Then you're not in the Word. Beth, I feel defeated. Then you're not in the Word. Get in the Word and take it as medicine for your life. Action, action, action. We need to take action. Number two, we choose to be patient in the middle of challenges. Oh, that's hard. Can I get an amen? It is hard to be patient. You're like, Jesus, I have endured this for two whole days. Are you kidding me? It's time for it to be over. And he's like, be patient in affliction, in the middle of a challenging situation. Psalms 37:7 says this, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Will he act? Yes. Is he a good father? Yes. Is he faithful? Yes. What's our job? Choose to be patient. There's an action even in patience. We're choosing it. Beth, I have to do something. Great. Be joyful. Beth, I have to fix it. Good. Be patient. You can be patient and joyful. It's an action. We choose to be persistent in calling on our Heavenly Father to answer us and rescue us. Why? Because he's faithful. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Be alert. He's out there. He's trying to steal your destiny. But hold on to your hope and be patient and be persistent in prayer. I love that you guys have prayer meetings on Tuesday nights. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I've been a pastor's wife for a long time. I'm sure the first Tuesday night there was quite a little crowd. By the end of the year, that crowd dwindles down to one or two or three that are faithful here praying. It's what happens in the States too. Why? Because prayer doesn't seem like you're doing anything. It doesn't seem like it's doing much. But I am telling you that in the heavenlies, when you pray, strongholds are destroyed. And in the heavenlies, when you pray, angels are dispatched on your behalf. Pray. Be persistent. Keep your hope in the Lord. Now let's go back to our first verse, our original verse, 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and be a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know your family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now listen to this part of the verse because this is when God takes action. He's asked you to take action. Now he takes action. The God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally, God of all grace, will personally do these things for you. He will restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you've suffered a little bit. The God who created the universe, the God who spoke the galaxies into existence, says he's personally going to come down and he's going to show action for you. He's personally going to restore you. That means to mend what has been broken, to repair it to completion. He's going to establish you. That means to make you stable, to place you firmly, to fix you in a fast set location. He's going to strengthen you. And that word strengthen goes directly to the soul. He's going to strengthen your mind, your will, and your emotions. And he's going to support you. And when we look at the original in the Greek and the Hebrew here, it's to lay a foundation, to make stable and to establish. So when you're going through the crappy seasons of life, can you say crappy here? Crappy, thank you. So when you're going through the crappy seasons of life, if you maintain your hope in the Lord, if you stay persistent in prayer, then God is personally going to establish you. He's going to restore what the enemy tried to steal from you. He's going to strengthen and support you. Friends, you have to fight for your healing, for your finances, for your peace, for your family, for salvation in your nation. You have to fight. It's an action. You have to stand guard against the enemy because God is faithful. He is faithful. We only lose if we give up. We only lose if we give up. Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We will win. You will win your battle if you don't give up. One of my new favorite verses, I always have a new favorite. One of my new favorite verses is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. I'm going to close with this verse. Powerful verses. Actually, I'm going to get a tattoo on my wrist with this verse. Don't tell Brad, he doesn't know yet. "But my righteous ones will live by faith. And if he shrinks back," okay, listen here. "My righteous ones will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will take no pleasure in him." This is the Lord speaking. "But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their soul." I'm going to say this again. I want you just to listen to this verse. Powerful, powerful verse. "But my righteous ones will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I take no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Now, I understand that you guys have a famous girl named Katie in Ireland. She's a boxer. Have you heard of her? Katie the boxer. If Katie the boxer shrunk back into the corner of the ring, what would happen? She would, exactly. She would be knocked out. She doesn't do that. I've seen her. I've watched her box. When Noel and Sharon came into town, the country a couple months ago, we watched her. I never saw Katie shrink back, ever. She was fierce in battle. She leaned in. She leaned in. Some of you have had seasons or in a season where you've shrunk back. It's like the wind, it's like coming at you and you're shrinking back. And God is saying, don't shrink back. Lean into my presence. Walk in faith. Walk in hope. Persevere in prayer. Know that the enemy is coming or is here, but I am coming. I will restore. I will deliver. I will heal. You just have to lean back. You can't, or lean in. You can't lean back and be destroyed. There's no options, guys. There's action that has to be done. We either step into the fight and say, no, we're not going to have it, or we step back and are defeated. It's our choice. It's our choice. Liberty Church, you are not of those who step back and shrink back. You have faith. God sees you as champions for the glory of his name in Ireland. The calling of your lives is to carry his glory into every situation and carry his power into every situation. And his glory on your lives is greater than the battle that you're in. You have to recognize the anointing and the call on this church. And if you're a part of this congregation, whether you're in Bray or Clondalkin or you're up in inner city, it doesn't matter. The calling on your life is the same. You're called to shine your light everywhere you go. You're called to be a witness. You're not called to shrink back. You're called to press in. How do you win Dublin? How do you win Ireland for the Lord? You win Ireland. You do it. Beth, I'm not equipped. Get in the word. Beth, I have my own stuff going on. Fight for your destiny. Fight for the destiny of your family and the destiny of this nation. The name of the Lord will be praised in this house of worship and in your family if you are steadfast and you rest in who he is and who you are in him. The destiny for your life in this church will be fulfilled in your lifetime. You will see the glory of the Lord in your situation. I felt very clearly last night as I was praying that that the Lord gave me a word for someone here. So I'm just going to release that to you. The time of mourning is now over. It's time to stand and take your victory. No more mourning. No more crying. It is time to stand up for yourself and your family. Don't allow the enemy to take ground that belongs to you through your inheritance in Christ. Don't allow it anymore. God is saying the time of mourning is over. What you went through in the past, it's in the past. And if you keep carrying along the baggage and the hurt and the pain of the past into the present, you will stay here buried in all of the stuff that Jesus took on the cross. It's your time to stand. It's your time to stand in faith and to fight in prayer and perseverance and hope in the Lord. Everyone stand, please. Thank you, God. In America, we have people, we have like just a response time, so I'm going to do that here. If everyone would just bow their heads and close their eyes. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you, the word about mourning and sadness was for you? The Lord spoke that for you. Okay, hands all over this house. We're going to break that off. That is just a spirit of mourning and sadness that needs to be broken off the people in this house. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just stand before your throne. We thank you that you're the righteous judge. We thank you that Jesus is our advocate, and he is interceding for us. We thank you that by the Holy Spirit you have just brought to life that there are people in this house that are in a season of mourning. Thank you, God, that you're saying the season of mourning is over. From this moment on, the season of mourning is over. No more mourning, no more crying, no more grieving things of the past or things that have been lost, God. And we just break off a spirit of sadness off of the people of God. A spirit of depression off the people of God, a spirit of grief off the people of God. And we stand in who you've created us to be, overcomers. You've created us to be overcomers, so we stand in that. Father, we stand in your love, we stand in your mercy, we stand in your grace over our lives. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. You've been faithful in the past, and you're faithful today. You'll be faithful in the future. We hope in you. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in you, Father. Thank you, God. How many of you felt like the Holy Spirit was just really challenging you, that it's time for action? Raise your hands if you're like, I have to become more active in fighting the enemy. Hands everywhere. Guys, this is the call of God. The call of God to be active, to pick up the sword of the Spirit. Father, I thank you, God, for those in this house that feel the call of your Spirit. It's time to be active in our faith. It's time to stand against the enemy who's coming against our destiny. It's time to persevere, to stand in hope in who you are and who we are. Thank you for that, God. God, do something in the spirit. Do something in the soul to bring complete healing and reconciliation. Thank you, God, that you promise that after a little while, you will restore. After a little while, you will establish. After a little while, God, you will strengthen and support. Thank you, God, we can completely count on you because you're faithful and you're so good to us. We love you, Jesus. We love your word. We love your encouragement and your strengthening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.